Steve Harris joins us now. Steve was president of the congregation from 1992 to 1994, and prior to that had served on the school board for Good Shepherd Lutheran School. After working for 12 years at McDonnell Douglas Health Systems, Steve joined Concordia Publishing House in 1990, and he just celebrated his 25th anniversary with CPH, where he currently serves as the Executive Director of Innovation Technologies. Steve and his wife, Karen, joined Good Shepherd in 1984. They have two children, Jennifer and Brian, both of whom graduated from Good Shepherd Lutheran School and Metro East Lutheran High School. They are blessed to have two grandchildren, Trevor and Caitlin, both of whom currently attend Good Shepherd Lutheran School. Boy, are you ever qualified to sit at this mic, Steve? Thanks for coming.
Oh, Phyllis, I'm happy to be here this evening.
I'd like to hear how you ended up at Good Shepherd in the first place. I don't know if you have a Lutheran background or how that rolled out for you.
Well, it's a long story. Actually, neither my wife nor I have a Lutheran background, although we both were raised in the church. And at some point in our daughter's early education, we decided that we wanted a different experience for her educationally than what we were getting in the public schools. And we came to Good Shepherd to what we thought was an informational meeting about the formation of a new school, only to realize later that it was the congregational meeting to approve the creation of the school and the appointment of Bill Cochran as the first principal. But we were so excited that night by what we saw that we signed Jennifer, our oldest daughter, we signed her up that night and said, you know, we're thrilled to be here and we'd like to get her in on it. So.
Well, my husband, Richard, I might have been chairman at the time because he remembers meeting you and saying, these folks aren't even members and they're really enthused. So that was a shot in the arm for everybody, including you. Give us the scoop on what was happening at Good Shepherd during your presidency, 1992 to 1994.
Well, when, you know, as I said, Karen and I got there in 1984, and there was a lot of excitement at Good Shepherd, especially with the founding of the school. It was a period of fast growth both for the church and the school, and I think one led to the other. We were an example of parents that were brought to the church through the school and then became members. So there was just a lot of exciting things going on at Good Shepherd. Pastor Kastens was still the senior pastor at that time. And we had just called Michael Walter as the associate in 1991 when Lester Sato left to take a call to California. The school at that time was still in its first decade, so Principal Bill Cochran was still there. We were adding kids every year. We were adding portable buildings as fast as we were adding kids. So it was kind of an interesting time and an exciting time to be there.
It's interesting to hear you say, I want to pick up on this, that you came into the church through the kids being in the school, which is one of the goals of the school. Because it's not all church members. I think even 50% or more are not church members. How did that happen?
So after Karen and I had attended the informational meeting about the school, we started attending the church just to see what the church had to offer in terms of its worship style and whether we would be comfortable raising our kids there.
And you were both going to different churches as single adults, right?
As single adults, I grew up in the Catholic Church and Karen grew up in the Methodist Church. When we married, we felt it was important for us to attend together, so we were attending the Methodist Church in Collinsville. But when we started looking at opportunities for schools, we also wanted to explore the opportunity to be in a setting where we could both worship and send our kids to school. So it only took one Sunday visit to church before, on a Sunday night, actually it was right around my birthday, we'd been at my parents' house for dinner. And when we got home, it was dark and it was late and it was actually snowing. My birthday's in March. And we had the kids in the bathtub and we heard a knock on the door. And I went to open the door thinking it was one of the neighbors and it was Pastor Dennis Kastens. And I think Pastor Kastens had probably driven by our house a number of times that night waiting for us to get back home because we had been gone most of the afternoon and evening. And now that I look back at it, I see the wisdom in what he did. He wanted to make sure that we knew at that moment that it was important to him that he visited with us, that he wanted us to feel welcome, and that he wanted to open up the opportunity for us to discuss membership at Good Shepherd.
That sounds exactly like Pastor Kastens. And Pastor Coleman had done some of that, and all the pastors since Pastor Kastens have picked up on that model.
He left a great heritage, yes.
What was the biggest concern of the congregation in those years?
Well, in those early years, actually, when I first started with my presidential role, president of the congregation, it wasn't long before two big things happened in the history of Good Shepherd, and I tried not to take them personally, but both Pastor Kastens and Principal Cochran, within a short period of time, accepted calls. Pastor Kastens to a church in Colorado, and Bill Cochran became the district ed executive in the Eastern District. So there I was, not being raised Lutheran, not being raised in that church, not having been there for a really long time, and all of a sudden our leadership was taking off. So at that point, that was a pretty critical situation at the congregation. So once Pastor Kastens and Principal Cochran had departed, obviously the focus of the congregation shifted to finding servants to replace those two gentlemen. We shifted into call committee mode, went through a period of time when we were looking at candidates and trying to figure out who we wanted to call. Ultimately, we called our associate, Pastor Walther, to become our senior, and Pastor Walther has been in that role ever since. And we were a little bit later in the year fortunate to find Mr. Paul Brandt to accept a call to become our principal following Bill Cochran. Once we got those two pieces of the puzzle in place, the focus of the church really shifted back to something that was going on at that time, which was trying to find a financial balance between the work of the church and the work of the school. Both of them were growing at a fast pace. There was a desire to start looking at a new sanctuary and grow the church building and properties. There was a need to continue to grow the school. So that became kind of the focus for what we were doing going forward.
Did you observe the Lord moving among staff and congregation as things progressed?
Well, I think while there were some concerns that our future growth would have to be an either-or proposition, either we could grow the church or we could grow the school, I think what we found was we could do it as a both-and. We could both allow the church to grow and create a new sanctuary for our worship services and still fulfill the needs of the school to handle the additional students. Like all the significant decisions we have made and continue to make at Good Shepherd, I think everything that we did was done with God's hand guiding our decisions and really bringing about a peace in our congregation. Because I think when we look at any significant vote, at the end of the day, I think everybody becomes of one mind. And I think the only way that that happens is with God's guidance, giving us all the wisdom and knowledge to make sure that we are all of one mind and moving in the same direction.
That's something that many people have commented on, the all of one mind business. It seems to be a kind of a trademark and sometimes unique in congregations that we've been able to achieve that by God's grace. What would you cite as the biggest challenge at the time?
Well, I think the biggest challenge we were facing then was trying to find that financial balance that I mentioned before. What we set out to do was to do a study of the funding of the school to try to determine how we could look at alternative methods to make sure that the school was financially stable and wasn't drawing too heavily on the resources of the congregation, and that the congregation could continue its path and continue to grow. And as we said before, the school was actually bringing people to the doorstep of the congregation, which was a wonderful thing. When we looked at it, we looked at a direct funding source model for the school, which basically meant tuition, and moved in the direction of creating a tuition model for Good Shepherd Lutheran School, which allowed the school to be somewhat self-sufficient and not rely too much on the congregation for everything. But at the same time, the congregation was concerned about being able to show its support for the school. So in addition to the building programs that they were doing for us and other financial support, a scholarship program was established by the congregation, which Good Shepherd Lutheran School members get to take advantage of to make sure that no child that really wanted to be at Good Shepherd Lutheran School was turned away for lack of finances.
And that scholarship program has been used through the years, hasn't it, to the benefit of many?
Yeah, I think it's been a great program, and I think we all, as members of the congregation, take comfort in the fact that people that truly need the assistance have that assistance provided by the congregation, and the congregation feels that they share in that school. It is part of our mission. It's hard to look at the two as two different things. They are so intertwined, and I think those of us who've had kids in the school, like yourself and like I have, I think you feel that they are so interwoven, it's hard to think of them separately.
Yes, it's a good weaving that the Lord has done. Now, there's usually in somebody's memory somebody who served as a past president, thinks of something that stands out?
Well, if I had to, I was looking at your question, and it kind of created a thought in my mind, and that is maybe making a distinction between what we as lay people accomplished and what God was able to accomplish through us. So I kind of tried to answer the question in these terms. What did God accomplish during those years that I served? And this is what I came up with. I think he provided shepherds with servant hearts to continue the work that he had begun at Good Shepherd. We lost two very important people in Bill Cochran and Pastor Cassens, and he found his servants that would come in and fill those shoes. He provided us with faithful, dedicated men and women to teach our young people. We have had a constant and steady flow of capable and qualified teachers, and I think that has provided our school with a great reputation for excellence, and I think it's provided the children that have attended Good Shepherd with a wonderful foundation for life. And I think he's also provided the right mix of skills and talents among our lay people that we are able to undertake the construction of a new sanctuary. We were able to continue the expansion of the school. And I think probably one of the, perhaps the wisest appointments I made as president was naming a person you're familiar with, a guy named Richard Wallace, to be the chairman of the Master Plan Committee when he set about to look at our new sanctuary. So looking back now over those, it's been 20 years now since I've been in that situation, I think that's what has actually occurred. But I also look at it and say God has really showered Good Shepherd with many blessings beyond what we reasonably could have expected. I think that's been the greatest observation I've made in the time that I've been there. We're a very fortunate congregation. We try to do a lot to help others, and I think God has been so generous to us in everything that we've done. So for me, it was really an honor to serve as president of the congregation. I was happy to do that, and have nothing but the highest esteem for everything that happens at the church.
Thanks so much, Steve.
Thank you very much.